SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
TV. And yeah, we are here. We are giving Craig Mish the day off. He decided, look, the Florida weather, it's beautiful, it's great. So he is he's taking a little bit of time off. So for the rest of the week, I am going to be joined by my friend George Kurtz. That means probably going to be a little bit less NBA talk than the folks are used to. Maybe we'll delve into the puck a little bit. Definitely going to look at some of these races going on in Major League Baseball. George, the training camp news from the NFL is coming thick and fast. The Boston Red Sox are looking like they want to miss the playoffs. How are things out on Long Island right now, George?
Oh, things on Long Island are just lovely here, right? People are panicking about the Yankees because you sweep Miami, but then you lose to Baltimore on Monday, then you crush them last night. Everyone's got COVID, right? Cole's gone, Montgomery's gone. So just lovely. No one's panicking here at all, and we haven't even talked about the Mets.
We haven't even talked about the Mets. We definitely will talk about the Mets. Our headlines here on Wednesday, Tyler Glasnow, unfortunately, scheduled for Tommy John surgery. You never love to see a young ace starting pitcher, especially at this time of the year, because if Glasnow goes under the knife this week, you would anticipate he's definitely not going to be ready for the start of the season next year, and it's going to be an open question in our fantasy drafts next season. You know, what are we doing with Tyler Glasnow? It's going to be a big topic of discussion. The Minnesota Vikings have not one, not two, but three quarterbacks in COVID protocols. Kirk Cousins, Kellen Mond, and their third stringer as well. They've had to bring in some camp bodies. A guy who I've never heard of named Case Cooksis is actually the guy who's been throwing passes to Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Three Raiders have retired in training camp, and two executives have stepped down. Running back Theo Riddick, a linebacker and an offensive tackle by the name of Sam Young as well. Probably the biggest news of the day, Kemba Walker agreed to a buyout with Oklahoma City Thunder. He has signed with the New York Knicks. Brett and I are definitely going to cover that a little bit later in the show. George, but the training camp news retains, you know, thick, fast, and heavy. We have Kenny Golladay of the New York Giants nursing a hamstring injury. Are you a Jets or a Giants New York fan? You know, I can never tell regionally how that affiliation breaks down out there.
Do we not see the Cowboy football? All right, do we not see the Cowboy football? No, I'm not. When I grew up in the 70s, my father was not a football fan, and the Giants and Jets sucked. All right, so really, at that point, if you weren't a fan of the local teams, you either like Dallas, Pittsburgh, Miami, Denver. Those are the four popular teams. And the first game I ever saw was the second Super Bowl between Dallas and Pittsburgh. That was the, bless my heart, Jackie Smith, where he dropped the touchdown pass that maybe Dallas would have beaten Pittsburgh in that second Super Bowl. First game I saw, listen, I was like 8. I liked the star on the helmet. I thought it was cool. Colors were blue and silver. Cool. So I became a Cowboy fan, and that's what I am to this day.
So that's very funny that you mentioned that, because basically that's the exact same thing that happened to me. My dad grew up in Oklahoma, so no professional football team in Oklahoma. Who do you get on the TV, right? You got the Steelers on TV. You got the Cowboys on TV, and that was kind of it. That was kind of your options between those two teams. Like, even in terms of, like, locally broadcast games, they weren't even getting the Chiefs on TV then. So my dad became a Cowboys fan, of course, growing up watching football with him. I became a Cowboys fan too. So I always find those things very funny. Speaking of the Cowboys, right now they are filming Hard Knocks. And I was sort of under the impression that the Dallas Cowboys Hard Knocks maybe would not have been that interesting. But now with this Dak Prescott shoulder injury and Amari Cooper still on the physically unable to perform list, I actually think we are going to have some things to watch. I'm definitely going to be watching to see how does Dak's shoulder look? How does Amari look running these routes in practice? Are you a Hard Knocks guy, George? Are you able to get into it, or do you kind of just think it's noisy?
I don't care. I mean, I haven't watched. I don't even know what's all the first episode's been on yet. I don't know when it is on, and I won't be watching it when it is. I might see bits and pieces on social media and stuff like that, but I'm not tuning in for it. It's the third time Dallas has been on this, at least the third time that I can remember. So, I guess the novelty of it has worn off. But like you said, yeah, I'm interested in Dak. I'm interested because I don't know if I trust what the Cowboys are telling us as far as what the injury is. You know, first it was a couple of days. Now it's, today, or maybe yesterday, was the last day of practice until August 10th. So you know he's not throwing now until August 10th. It's another week here. So he's going to be gone almost 2 weeks, which granted, in the overall scheme of things, still leaves you a month before opening night against Tampa Bay on that Thursday. But, I want to see him throw. I want to see him throw, Davis. First, we were all nervous about the ankle, right? Is he going to be able to move around? Looks fine. You know, he's moving, I would say, pretty normally. So that's not an issue now. But what was he, rehabbing the ankle the whole time and not throwing as much? Is that why my shoulder barked on him? I don't think it's anything severe. I don't. But it's something to watch. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I hope it is nothing severe, and fantasy drafters are hoping that too, right? Ezekiel Elliott going in the first round, Amari Cooper going in the fourth round, CeeDee Lamb going in the third, even Michael Gallup is drawing some interest. We, of course, have that tight end battle between Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz. We are about to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. We will return with some fantasy football training camp notes. Brett and I will be talking about the NBA free agency and some of those moves a little bit later. Of course, we'll be going over the baseball games today. Everyone, stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. We'll see you in a few moments on the other side of break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz this week as Craig Mish takes a little bit of a vacation. We are going to talk about some big news and notes from fantasy football training camps. But before we get there, I definitely want to remind you guys to follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and Sports Grid TV. You get all the latest updates, breaking news, line changes, and more. You can stay on the grid all day, even when you're not tuned in, by following us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. George, we have lots to go over here. I mean, this is my job, right? I'm drafting fantasy football. I'm covering it. I'm messing with the projections. And there are things that when I go to get into our script for the show here, even I ended up missing these things. The first training camp note that we have today, Christian Kirk is out with a minor deal. Cliff Kingsbury was not very forthcoming, but I actually think this is a fairly big deal because the Arizona Cardinals are going to pass a lot. We know they run that high offensive volume system, the air raid. They have, of course, DeAndre Hopkins. They have AJ Green. And then it was, I guess, assumed that Christian Kirk would be the next wide receiver, but Andy Isabella, second round pick from three seasons ago, remains there. First off, are you interested at all in Christian Kirk, or do you feel that AJ Green is just mostly going to be taking the targets away from him there?
Well, listen, I think when it comes to A.J. Green, which is important here, he's well past his prime. Can't stay really healthy with 17 games either. I mean, what's your over-under on how many games he plays? 12 and a half? Sounds about right. And then he's got to be acclimated to the offense, get chemistry with Murray there. And Murray has to want to throw the ball to him. We all know this offense is going to be filtered through Hopkins. So who gets the leftovers? You know, Kirk has been there, has the trust of Murray. I don't know if I'm going to be thrilled about either guy here. I think you're talking fantasy football terms. You know, upside is a wide receiver three. These are more flex plays for me. I think Green, he's a Hall of Famer, sure. We know about him. We're going to like him. Kirk is probably a guy you can get a round two, three later because he's not, doesn't have the name value of A.J. Green. We're going to forget about him. I think for value, I'll take Kirk.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, it was kind of interesting when the team was doing mini camps. Cliff Kingsbury was not talking about Christian Kirk at all, which I have always kind of viewed Christian Kirk as much more talented than his numbers have belied. He's entering into his fourth season in the NFL. He did score 6 touchdowns last year, but, you know, one of the things we know about Kirk is he tends to kind of bunch those things up. Last year, he had 3 straight games against Dallas, Seattle, and Miami where he scored 5 touchdowns. And then from week 9 to week 17, he didn't score a touchdown again. But I am definitely keeping the light on for Christian Kirk. I think that he is a pretty strong player, and I think he's a great system fit there. Moving on, we of course have the quarterback battle between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater in Denver. Now, head coach Pat Shurmur said that he has seen the best version of Drew Lock at camp. He really is not even being drafted right now. But if this is true, I mean, I don't know any offense that is set up to support a kind of mediocre quarterback, whether it be Drew Lock, whether it be Teddy Bridgewater, than the Broncos. They have Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, probably the best fourth wide receiver in the NFL, even Albert Okwuegbunam, who was Drew Lock's best friend when they played at Missouri together. I mean, even outside of Drew Lock, I'm just wondering, do we have a reason to be excited about the Broncos offense at all? Do we think that either one of Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater can support all of these weapons, George?
I love when you hear this from the other coaches. You know, Sherman, oh, you've seen the best Lock I've ever seen. What's he going to say? Oh, God. He's terrible, guys. Terrible. All right, I can't get that. What do we do here? Why did we take Surtain first round? We should have taken a quarter. I would love to see a coach just do that in a press conference. You know, the hands just go, oh, you know, he's starting to sweat here. He's starting to freak out here. But you're never going to see that. They're always great. Right? It's like in baseball. Oh, he's going to steal 79 bases in April this year. Best shape of my career. It's all we're going to hear. All the good stuff here. Listen, in my mind, the Broncos made a mistake. And I like Patrick Surtain. I like him a lot. He might be an all-pro corner. Might be a Hall of Fame corner. But you can't pass on a quarterback when you need one. Lock is not the answer. Bridgewater, in my mind, Bridgewater's a very good number two. He's not a number one either. He struggled throwing a deep ball last year in Carolina. And you said it, all the weapons they have. This team offensively is ready. They're there. The offensive line may be a little shaky, but they're there. But they don't have a quarterback. You are not going to compete with Pat Mahomes in that division or Herbert with Drew Lock and Bridgewater. You can't compete with Carr with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. You know, so I think Lock probably does win the job because, hey, we got to find out. You know, if not, we got to take quarterback next year. But I think they made a big mistake passing on this year. And this downgrades everybody for me. If I can't trust the quarterback, how can I, take Cortland Sutton as a wide receiver too? Jerry Jeudy is a wide receiver too. Noah Fant is still a tight end one because tight ends get real scary real quick here. But this offense is going to suffer. Like I said, the skill position players are there outside of quarterback. The defense is there. The quarterback is not.
No, I think you're completely right. I mean, I honestly feel like the decision to not take Justin Fields when they were on the clock at 9, I think that this is going to be a situation that ends up haunting the Denver Broncos the way that passing on Patrick Mahomes for and Deshaun Watson for Leonard Fournette is going to haunt the Jaguars. And look, the Jaguars ended up figuring it out. They tanked out. They got lucky. And they ended up getting the number one overall pick over the New York Jets and taking Trevor Lawrence. But even still, the Jaguars probably would rather have Patrick Mahomes than Trevor Lawrence. That's just a guess. And I would imagine that the Denver Broncos are going to feel the exact same way. I mean, they're going to watch Justin Fields tearing up those defenses in the NFC North, and they're going to think about what could have been. For me, it's more important just like, I love Jerry Jeudy. If Courtland Sutton is able to get over this knee injury, I think he's a very talented player. I think Noah Fant is a very talented player. I think Javonte Williams is a talented player. So I just want one of these guys to play well enough that all of the other players on Denver are able to be good enough for fantasy. Our final news and note guy to touch on here is Michael Carter, running back for the New York Jets. The coaching staff there has been very impressed with him thus far. They say that he is a step above the other three running backs. The other three running backs they would be referring to would be LaMichael Perine, Ty Johnson, and Tevin Coleman. We saw a little bit of Ty Johnson last year. He looked okay. We saw a little bit of Perine last year. He did not. He looked pretty brutal. And, you know, Tevin Coleman seems like he was ported in from San Francisco with Robert Saleh, but I would not imagine that if Michael Carter is able to play well, we'll see a ton of him. 87th overall, in or out on Michael Carter, George?
Well, first of all, he better be a step above the other trio, right? Because if he's not, the Jets are in a whole lot of trouble at running back. Because the other guys, there's nobody special there anymore. Coleman might have been special for a year or two, but he's not that guy anymore. So Carter is what he is. Am I in or out on Michael Carter? Well, he's a running back. Pretty much in fantasy, let's face it, if you're breathing, we're interested in you at running back, right? Especially a guy who might start eventually. I don't know if he gets it from the get-go here. I mean, I'm in for that reason. Do I expect big things? Probably not. I mean, let's face it. The quarterback is still in question there. We know who's going to start, but I don't know what he's going to do right away. You know, it might take the month of September. It might take the whole year for him to figure it out. So that's going to lead teams to maybe load up, stop the run there. So that could be an issue. How many snaps is he going to get per game? How many carries, touches is he going to get per game? I think he should be the guy eventually, but that could take some time. So I'm in because he's breathing and has a pulse, you know, but not as a starter in fantasy.
Yeah, I generally echo those thoughts. I mean, just in general, the history of like a fourth round rookie coming in and getting 250 touches, you really just never see that. Like, fourth round rookie running backs are just about as likely to be cut as they are to be starting running backs for their team. So I could see it going either way. The Jets running back I like the most right now is probably Ty Johnson, because he's totally free at the end of drafts and he will end up playing some passing downs, but definitely a guy to keep our eye on because Carter was very good when he played at the University of North Carolina. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Please stay tuned to Sports Grid. After we get back from break, I'll be rejoined by Brett Levy. We're going to talk about NBA free agency, Kemba Walker signing with the Knicks. See you guys in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined this segment by my buddy, Brett Levy, our producer. We have some breaking news in the NBA to discuss and also the second day of NBA free agency as a whole, giving George a little bit of a break here so that he can go and tend to the garden out front, doesn't have to talk about Kemba Walker with us. So Brett, Kemba Walker agreed to a buyout with the Oklahoma City Thunder, signing a four-year deal with the New York Knicks. Semi-interesting, I guess, because the Oklahoma City Thunder, for the right to buy Kemba Walker out, got a first-round pick, then used that 16th overall pick to get two more first-round picks. So I think a good deal for Oklahoma City. Have not seen specifics on how much money they are buying him out for. My guess is because there was a four-year contract waiting for Kemba, it's not going to end up being that much money. What are your thoughts on this deal both for the Knicks and for Oklahoma City?
Well, I think it's really exciting for the Knicks fans. You get a guy who 2 years ago was one of the prized free agents on the market. Didn't go so great in Boston, but he's still an elite scorer, averaged 19 points while being pretty injured last year, missed a ton of games throughout the season, still 19-4-5 on the year, Davis. So, most people will take that if that's what a guy injured is doing. From OKC's perspective, probably makes sense. You want to continue to develop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as your future point guard, the face of the franchise. You want the ball in his hands as much as possible, getting into pick and roll, getting into the flow of the offense, getting it out in transition, getting on the break. Let him make the mistakes while the team is developing and growing together. And then hopefully he won't make those same mistakes down the road. And, he learns from his mistakes. So, I think it makes sense from both teams. The Knicks are going to be exciting this year. It'll be interesting to see, though, one of the teams we're going to talk about is the Bulls, who made a big splash as well. Like, are they better than the Bulls? Are they better than the Hawks? I don't really know. So I don't know where the Knicks are in terms of where they'll finish in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I feel like the Knicks made a lot of moves. They add some shooting with Evan Fournier. They pay Nerlens Noel. They pay Alec Burks. And I, in a vacuum, I don't have a problem with one of those deals. Also, one of the things I heard speculated was that the reason why the Knicks were signing a lot of guys to mid-tier contracts was they want to have movable contracts in case a Damian Lillard trade becomes clear. If Damian Lillard says, all right, Portland, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. The hardest thing to do in the NBA is to make money work for trades. That's why you see three-team trades and four-team trades and sign-in trades and all those things. So the Knicks will have some very movable contracts if that does end up happening. Nerlens' money is useful. Burks' money would be useful. Unclear what they would do with Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker, and Derrick Rose all on the same team. I suppose that would be fairly interesting. But our fantasy or reality from Monday came true, Brett. We said fantasy or reality, Carmelo Anthony will sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. And less than 24 hours later, of course, Carmelo Anthony does sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. And, this was something they needed to do. They needed to add a little bit of shooting. Of course, Carmelo and LeBron, very good buddies in real life. They are banana boat buds. Dwayne Wade has retired, but you never know if they're actually going to get the whole gang together eventually. Amazing that Carmelo is still playing, and even more incredible that LeBron is still playing at the level that he does. What role do you see Carmelo having on this team for the Los Angeles Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't fully buying the hype, Davis. I thought Carmelo had found his role as like the leading scorer off the bench for the Portland Trailblazers, and he was kind of playing pretty well in that role, had some big nights for Portland, would get his touches, would get his shots. Now he'll probably be mixing in there, potentially starting for some games, depending on how they utilize Anthony Davis this upcoming season. Although AD, pretty adamant about being a four there. Marc Gasol is coming back to the Lakers. So we'll see what happens throughout the rest of the offseason. But Carmelo could start some games at four. He's probably going to come off the bench, fill some of those Kyle Kuzma minutes at that 3-4 spot where Kyle Kuzma was shooting. Now those will be Carmelo Anthony shots. And look, the Lakers added a lot of vets over the weekend. It's like an old-timers club, but a lot of great players who know how to contribute in this league. Wayne Ellington, another shooter, like strictly pretty much at this point a spot-up shooter. We'll see how it works for the Lakers. A lot of old guys who should know their role.
Yeah, and you could be pessimistic on this, and you could say, they give up younger guys like Kuzma. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was probably their third most important player when they won the NBA championship. But at the end of the day, for championship teams, the stars stay the same, right? LeBron stays the same. Anthony Davis stays the same. They swap out from their rotation Dennis Schroeder for Russell Westbrook. Say what you want about Russell Westbrook, he is better than Dennis Schroeder, even at the age that he is going to be at, even with the condition of his knees. And you just rotate around the role players, and the role players change every year. what's the difference between Wayne Ellington and Wesley Matthews, really? You know, Carmelo Anthony going to be a very good shooter for off the bench for them. They have Marc Gasol and Dwight Howard to play center so that Anthony Davis will for sure play center in the playoffs, but during the regular season, they want to protect him a little bit and allow him to play the four so that he is not going to be, you know, down banging in there. A former Los Angeles Laker, Andre Drummond, who ended up on the team last year, signed a deal to be the backup center for the Philadelphia 76ers, which I think is interesting because Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond do not like each other. That is well reported at this time. My guess would be that the 76ers front office would have definitely cleared this signing with Joel Embiid before they made it. If they didn't, you'd have to feel like that is definitely a little bit of a mistake. But the 76ers needed a backup center, Brett. They really did. They have been the last couple years crushed, just absolutely crushed in the non-Embiid minutes in the playoffs. Do you like this signing for the 76ers?
Yeah, I actually probably like it even more for the regular season, Davis, because now when Embiid's missing those games, you just have your perennial double-double standing in there. And, you know, he fills a lot of the same roles. He rebounds. He is a rim roller. Embiid shoots a lot better than him. There's no doubt about that. Embiid can expand his range to three. He can even probably take a few guys off the dribble at the center position. He might be quick enough to do that. But Andre Drummond is as solid as it gets. I mean, 14 and 12 a year ago, he was actually playing so well. He was keeping the Cavaliers afloat for a little bit in the beginning of the season, Davis. And the Cavs were like, all right, we need to get this guy off the court. He's going to take us out of the top three. So I think Andre Drummond, you know, is one of those guys who doesn't, quote unquote, fit the modern game, but his skill set's still valuable. Like, you still need rebounds, you still need paint points, you still need guys to be physical and intimidate guys just coming into the lane, taking free layups. So I think there is a role for Andre Drummond, and I think it's actually really going to help, you know, in the games that Embiid misses in the regular season.
Yeah, I actually really like that point. They won't have to change their offense up a ton. They could basically just run Joel Embiid stuff for Andre Drummond, and Drummond is going to be really good in those games. Certainly when we are doing our FanDuel NBA DFS stuff, we will definitely be talking about Andre Drummond in the games where Embiid is taking off this this upcoming season. The Bulls, we talked about them yesterday, but we didn't even know what was really coming down the pipeline. A sign-and-trade for DeMar DeRozan, their starting lineup now, a lot of guys who can score the basketball: Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, probably Patrick Williams, though I think there are some different ways they could go there. I mean, the Bulls really need Patrick Williams to be good. They have gutted their depth now. If Patrick Williams is not a good NBA player, who knows what happens with this rebuild. Nikola Vucevic going to be starting at center for them. Kobe White coming off the bench. Probably even actually in some small ball lineups, they will play Ball, Kobe White, LaVine, and DeRozan together. What did you think about the DeMar sign and trade? Did you like it? Were you a fan?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of DeMar DeRozan. Again, people are critical of him because he's not Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's not this top 1% of NBA players. So what is that? The 1% of the 1%? You know, he's like in that top 5%. So he's a multi-time all-star. He's an elite scorer. He's one of the best players from the mid-range, no doubt about that. He can play above the rim. He's actually transitioned his game a little bit from where he was a pure wing. Now he can play a little bit at the four, where San Antonio needed him last year. So I think DeMar DeRozan playing with LaVine, who's another high flyer, Vucevic, Lonzo Ball, this team offensively, Davis, is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. People are questioning the defense. Yeah, there's some questions on the defense, but Lonzo Ball leading it at the one is going to help alleviate some of that pressure. He's bigger than most point guards, so he'll clog up some passing lanes that maybe Vucevic and other weaker defenders aren't as good at clogging up, we'll say.
Yeah, no, you are right. I mean, I am totally worried about this team's defense. Zach LaVine, one of the worst defenders in the NBA. DeMar is not a bad defender, but he uses so much of his energy on the offensive end. Now, maybe playing with Lonzo, LaVine, and Vucevic changes that a little bit, and DeMar does actually focus a little bit more on defense. Patrick Williams, also a decent defender, but I am worried about the Bulls' defense. Guys, we are going to take a break here, run into a quick commercial. When we return, George is going to come back with us. We are going to discuss some of the big Major League Baseball games for today. Stay tuned to Sports Grid TV. See you guys in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is David Smatic. I am now rejoined by George Kurtz. He came back inside, sat back down at the desk. You know, Brett and I, we were going on and on about Andre Drummond and the 76ers, and we're now back to home base. We are moving to Major League Baseball. We're going to preview some of the games for today from a sports wagering perspective. Before we get there, though, I did just want to mention, it looks like Cole Hamels is going to be signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The rich get richer. I mean, I would assume that Hamels probably is actually going to be a bullpen guy for them, maybe a bulk innings guy. I don't see, I mean, George, do you think he is going to end up slotting into their starting rotation, or do you think he's kind of like a 2-3 inning guy in the middle innings, especially in the playoffs?
Well, according to reports, he's not going to be ready for about 4 weeks. Are you talking September? I guess, once again, I read it the same way as you. More of a bullpen guy, a swing guy, a long guy. Maybe they're covering their bases. They've had a lot of injuries, so in case something else pops up. But if you're looking at it right now, well, who's he going to replace? Not replacing Scherzer, not replacing Buehler. Kershaw should be back by then. At least we assume he was. Urias has pitched great. I guess he could slot in there after that, right? Maybe. You know, Gonsolin, no one's told about. Duffy will be back then, too. So is it just, hey, whoever pitching the best goes? You know, so we'll see how it is. And let's face it, it's also September. They could still be in a battle for that first place in the National League West. They might skip the fifth starter on any kind of off day they have to get your best guys out. No one wants to play in that wild card game. So that could be in play as well here, as Jorge Polanco has just hit a home run to put the Twins on the board 1-0 over the Reds.
Yeah, I think you are probably right. And actually, given their upcoming schedule, they might even be able to double up on Scherzer and Buehler starts, because they're going to get a couple days off here as they travel back across the country. So, yeah, I mean, who knows when Kershaw gets back. And as the Dodgers have continually proved, depth is very important when you're trying to win a World Series. And it definitely can't hurt to have Cole Hamels on your 40-man roster if you are trying to win a World Series. One of the games that is about to have their first pitch thrown at 1:10, the Seattle Mariners at the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays are now first in the AL East. They are a game ahead of the Red Sox. They are 6 games ahead of the Yankees, 7 games ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Mariners, look, lots of luck in one-run games. Their luck is starting to run a little bit dry. They are starting Logan Gilbert today, who had a very bad first start as a professional, but has really sewn it up since then. Josh Fleming is going to be starting. He will probably go 4 innings, maybe 5 if he's really working it. Would imagine that we're going to see a fair amount of both teams' bullpens in this game. Huge favorite for the Rays right now. The Mariners, they've started that slide that I think a lot of us were anticipating out of them. Does look like both teams have kind of their full healthy lineups going today. Does not look like a day's off for anyone other than Nelson Cruz for the Rays. Which side of this game do you like, George?
Listen, Mariners put a hurting on the Rays first two games, right? Put a little beating on them on Monday. Won the game last night as well, doing the Yankees some favors here. Red Sox haven't been able to take advantage of it yet. I mean, for the value, give me the Mariners. I like the pitcher. I like Gilbert a lot. I don't know if he's going to say he's going to be the next ace, the next Walker Buehler, Jacob DeGrom, but I think he's a really good pitcher here. Like I said, I don't feel confident in the Rays to be able to take them. Not at that price there. But, you know, you're going to give me plus money on the Mariners? I know it's – I don't think they're making the playoffs. I really don't, Davis. They're, as you're sort of mentioning here, they're not that kind of team. But I like the pitching matchup in their favor today. They've won the first two games, going to ride the hot streak. I assume Monday that the Rays were just feeling the effects of sweeping Boston, you know, riding the high, and you had a letdown here. Yeah, you know, Mariners come out and beat them again last night. Give me a sweep here. Give me the Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, that it's pretty interesting, and you definitely are going to getting some bang for your buck with them listed at plus 142. You are totally right about Gilbert, though. He's been really good. Really, the only thing you could complain about with him right now is the fact that he has not been able to go too deep into games. Our next game, a very important one for both of these teams. The San Diego Padres are really starting to give up ground to the Dodgers and the Giants. The Padres are now six games back of the Giants, though they're in fairly commanding position for the second wild card. The only other team really that's drawing live for the second wild card is the Cincinnati Reds, who are 56 and 51. They are still five games behind the San Diego Padres. Pretty close game here. Musgrove takes the mound for the Padres. Frankie Montas takes the mound for the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's are playing important games now as well. They are in the second wild card in the American League, but they're fighting against your Yankees. They are fighting against the Blue Jays. Which side of Musgrove versus Montas do you like here, George?
Yeah, it should be a good game. Actually, what I'm looking forward to watching later on this afternoon here after our show, Montas versus Musgrove, good pitching matchup. Musgrove really, listen, he had the no-hitter earlier on this season. He's not that guy. Has really been average since. Montas has been a little bit unlucky. I think he's one of the top five guys in Major League Baseball as far as unlucky. And what they mean by that is when you don't get wins despite you throwing a quality start. So you get six innings, three runs. We can argue about whether or not that's a quality start all day. It's not. That's 4.5 runs a game. It's not good. But whatever. That's what they call a quality start here. So he's been that guy here. So I kind of expect a lower scoring game here, but the over-under is 8. Not enough for me to go for it there. I'm going to go with the A's to even it up here. But their offense has been a little quiet of late. A little quiet outside of the addition of Starling Marte, who had another great game last night.
Yeah, Starling Marte looking like a positive impact trade for the Oakland A's. Always love to see one of those working out. Our final game here taking place in my neck of the woods, we have the Atlanta Braves playing at the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are completely done, 10 games back of their division, 8 games back of the second wild card. Basically, no chance for them to make the playoffs. They trade for John Lester. Lester gets blown up last night. They also trade for Jay Happ. Jay Happ about to make his first start as a Cardinal in this game tonight. The Atlanta Braves are going to be tossing out Drew Smyly, who is not having a great year, but has been slightly better over his last couple starts. Atlanta is listed right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook at minus 118. The Cardinals are even money. Not a chance that I would be taking the St. Louis Cardinals. I think this is a pretty bad line. The Braves have a very strong lineup against left-handed starting pitching. Actually, the lineup that they ran out last night against John Lester, that completely blew him up. I feel like they'll probably run out the same thing. I mean, they might sub out Jock Peterson for Guillermo Heredia, but other than that, it should basically be the same lineup. I think there's a fair amount of value here on Atlanta minus 118. How do you feel about that one, George?
I'm with you. I'm going to be on the Braves tonight and the over. I think once again, I wouldn't say Cole Happ a soft thrower, but he's a fly ball pitcher. He's going to give us some home runs. I'll have a couple of home run props in this game as well. Just guys who I'm going to bet I'm going to hit a home run tonight. There's really no logic there. You're going for the luck there. But I think it's going to be some runs tonight. Going to be some long balls tonight. The Atlanta wins the game. You know, you mentioned the Cardinals acquire Lester and Happ. And there's only one thing going through my mind when this happened. Why? What did you think? I mean, hey, you're not even in the playoff frontier. So why are you acquiring these guys? I didn't understand this at all. You know, I don't remember what they were on Friday at the deadline here, but right now they're sitting, what, 10 games behind Milwaukee. You were never catching the Brewers. You're never catching the wild card. You know, what do you think? You're going to catch the Dodgers, Padres? No, yeah, that wasn't happening. I would love this, someone to explain to me, you know, in the Cardinals front doors, what you were thinking about acquiring Lester and Happ, two guys who, listen, they were, well, Lester was a really good pitcher. Happ was so-so every now and then. But this was years ago, years ago. I did not understand this at all, why they went for it. To me, this was a deal, Davis, where they were saying, you know what? Our fans are going to want us to do something. Let's add a couple of guys. They're not going to cost us much in prospect talent here. But at least then we can say we did something. We went for it. We added to the team to make everybody happy. So if that's it, that's fine, just to placate everybody. But, man, when I saw those deals, I'm like, why? Why?
No, I am completely with you. I mean, I think you are definitely right. It was, we know we're not winning the division. We know we're not making the wild card, but we got to do something because St. Louis Cardinal fans, they will complain. If we don't do anything, if we make no moves, if we don't add any veterans, if we don't try and do something, then we're going to have people complaining, people not wanting to come to games, you know, so on and so forth. So I think that was basically the entire impetus behind it. I don't think it made any sense. I mean, John Lester looked awful in his very first start as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't anticipate things going much better for Jay Happ. Let's go to the Yankees, though, because the AL East race has now gotten very interesting. The Red Sox have lost 6 games in a row. They are no longer leading the division. The Yankees got a little bit better. The Blue Jays definitely got better with the addition of Jose Berríos. How are you feeling about your New York Yankees? Do you love these additions of Joey Gallo and of Anthony Rizzo?
No, I didn't love the addition. It has nothing to do with the players, by the way. I think, once again, now what you said about the Cardinal fans also is true of the Yankee fans. They Yankee fans will not accept that you're not, you know, you didn't add anything. You didn't go for it. But the Yankees, the players, the team, the offense really, has been telling you all year long what kind of team they are. All year long, they've been telling you they can't hit. For whatever reason, they can't hit this year. And it's not so much that they can't get on base. You know, I think I keep making this joke in every show I do now, that the Yankees have more traffic on the bases than the Major League Expressway here. All right, that leads to the Yankee Stadium, by the way, in case you weren't wondering. And does it move? That's the problem. Once they get traffic on the bases, it doesn't move. They can't drive these guys in. It's been the problem all year long. Were they too right-handed? Yes. I mean, we've known this for a couple of years now that they were too right-handed. So on theory, I get it. You add Gallo, left-hander. You add Rizzo, left-hander. And Gallo is signed for next year, so I probably minded this one a little less. You sign Rizzo, and he's been great since coming over to the Yankees. He's been absolutely fantastic. But you have Luke Voit. What are you going to do with him? You couldn't trade him by the deadline. Rizzo's a free agent next year. So what are you telling Voit? Luke, listen, it's August 4th. Stay on the bench for the next 2 months. Next year, you'll be back at first base again. It's a weird way of going about it. I understand you have to win now. Voit is on the IL. He'll be back probably this weekend with no place to play. Andrew Heaney. So let me get this straight. You're going to add a fly ball pitcher to Yankee Stadium, a guy who had a +5 ERA in Los Angeles, and you think it's going to work. Really? Really? All right, and end up being with everybody and their mother going on COVID for the Yankees. Cole's on COVID. Montgomery's on COVID. You probably needed to add a starting pitcher anyway, so he's somebody. But that's all he is. He's a body. All right, so I think the Yankees are in trouble. I know they scored 13 runs last night. If you're going to try and convince me that this is the start of the offense picking up, okay, we have something then. But we've seen this before where the Yankees have a game every now and then where they hit. And let's face it, that they threw, what, an 88-mile-an-hour soft-throwing left-hander against the Yankees? They're always going to eat that up last night. Let's see what happens tonight.
You're right. The Andrew Heaney addition was sort of weird because I can't really think of a starting pitcher archetype who would be worse than Heaney for that ballpark. Now, I guess Heaney is left-handed and the short porch is out in left field. So that is, you know, lefty on lefty is obviously a little bit harder. I mean, a right-handed fly ball pitcher in Yankee Stadium, you know, see you later. You're talking about a 7.5 ERA. So I guess I'm going to be kind to the Yankees front office. I got to say, I do disagree with you a little bit, though. I mean, yes, I love Luke Voit, and I think he is going to be good. But the Rizzo and Gallo additions, like we were just talking about the short porch, I mean, I do think those guys probably are going to be pretty good. But we have to run into break here real quick. on Fantasy Sports Today will return before you even know it. Stay tuned with us for hour two. We have lots of fantasy football stuff to cover and fantasy or reality. See you guys in a few moments on the other side of break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to our final segment here in Hour 1 on Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am David Simatic, joined by George Kurtz, Craig Mish taking a little bit of well-deserved time off. And George, I don't know about you, but I always enjoy the Olympics. I definitely always kind of have them on. I enjoy. Now, the Winter Olympics, to me, actually is a little bit better than the Summer Olympics. Some people prefer the summer. They like the swimming. They like the diving. Some people like the Winter. I'm a big fan of the curling. Big fan of curling in the Winter Olympics. Have you had the Summer Olympics on there out in Long Island? Have you been watching?
No. You know, and that's my fault. I mean, listen, right now I'm staring at a blank TV. It's nothing's on. I should have the Olympics on. I keep forgetting to put it on. As you said, I am a much bigger fan of the Winter Olympics, and not just because of the hockey, too. I like the skiing. I like the luge. I like the bobsled. I've always wondered, you know, when you get those ski jumpers and they go, and they're up in the air, what goes through your mind when you realize, oh, no, I'm not going to come down on my feet? You know, I always wonder what goes through your head when you're 200 feet in the air and you realize, oh, I'm not coming down on my skis. That's got to be a terrible feeling. But I like the Winter Olympics more. There's not too much in the summer that I would enjoy watching. I do know that Team USA, I believe, beat the DR, so now they'll play South Korea. So I will try and check that out. It's also hard to watch it in Asia because you're not taking anything live. Everything's taped. Everything's recorded. And even I know generally who's won these things.
No, you're definitely right. The tape delay, it feels like, you know, transporting back into time when all sporting events used to be tape delayed, right? And NBA Finals games back in the 70s and 80s used to be tape delayed. And, you know, if you want to watch anything live, you got to stay up late. And look, it's a hard industry we live in. We got lots of work to do. We got to get up early and do it. So I have not been staying up to watch a ton of it. NBC has done a good job with like the primetime stuff. I've gotten to see some of the U.S. men's basketball team, the U.S. women's basketball team. They're doing very well. U.S. men's baseball team doing pretty solid as well. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and go into our final break here on Hour 1. Second half of the show, we have headlines, preseason football, take them or leave them, fantasy or reality. Stay tuned to SportsGrid TV. See you guys in a few moments.